This is the National Public Broadcast of W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, and now Imam Muhammad.
Takbir.
Thank you, and peace be unto you. As Muslims greet, Assalamu alaikum. We praise God who created the world of the skies and the earth and all living, and made very special creations when he made the human being in the excellence that he endowed his creation with. We witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed about 1400 years ago, the model of human excellence, a model, as Allah says, God says in our holy book, for any, not just for Muslims or for his following, a model for any who believes in the last day, who believes in God and believes in the last day, in the judgment, that they have to be accountable to God, the maker, creator of everything. It is our purpose that God assigned on this earth. In our religion, in our holy book, the purpose is given, and it says, God says, that is, that man is created to worship or serve God. He says that he neither created the jinn spirit, the jinn, nor man, for any purpose except his worship, except to serve him. I'm familiar with the Old Testament and the New Testament, and I can say to you that the Bible, the Holy Bible, has the same language in it. The purpose of our existence on this earth is to serve the God that made the earth, created it when there was no earth, and created man when there was no man before existing. I'm happy and honored to be invited here. Last night we had a wonderful time as your guest. We came to celebrate with you and to recognize your honorees and to hear your keynote speaker, Attorney Thursday the Third. And we enjoyed the evening. It was a wonderful evening last night. And we enjoyed having dialogue with the Christian minister, Reverend. We had a wonderful experience in discussion with the Reverend Paul. And the evening was so lovely. The meal was very tasty. The environment was beautiful, friendly, warm, and dignified. We are here on this earth to serve God. How do we serve God? With our whole life. As God says in our holy book, the purpose of our life on this earth is to worship Him. And to worship Him means to serve Him. For the Christian, I see Jesus Christ, peace be upon Him, in the New Testament, saying the same thing, that I'm here to serve God, the one who sent me. And how did he serve God, who sent him into the world? He served him by serving his God's will for human life in society. He questioned the behavior of persons that didn't sympathize with suffering people. He questioned the behavior of persons who claimed that they believed in God but was not being kind to their fellow man. He questioned persons that didn't have charity for those who were sick, hungry, etc. So service to God is really through our service to mankind in society, in community, or in society. In our religion, in our holy book, God says, your sacrifices of blood or animals, that does not reach Him. He said, what reaches Him is your obedience. Your obedience, our obedience to Him, is what he says reaches Him. Not the money we give. We say for God, to God, and the animals we sacrifice to God. That does not reach Him. Only our obedience reaches Him. So what he's saying, what God is saying, that he doesn't need your money, he doesn't need you to give him anything. He's independent, needing nothing. But what he loves is that you obey him. And obeying him does not give him anything. Obeying God gives you everything. So really, God's love is the perfect love. And his love is divine love. He loves not selfishly. I have to admit that I have had a good relationship with my wife and a beautiful experience with her, life as her husband and father of our children. But it has been selfish love. I wanted a lot out of it for myself. God wants nothing for himself. He created the world for the living. He created everything for his servants who will obey him. And we often look at this world, people of faith, and some of us, we are patient enough to just be peaceful and accept whatever God will let us have in this life, even if it's nothing, a life of poverty, a life of sickness, a life of broken families, whatever. We bear it all patiently, those who strongly believe in God. But sometimes we ask, when are we going to see relief? When are we going to have it good? And we think this world, it belongs to Satan. We say Shaitan means Satan. We think the world belongs to Shaitan. And the criminals, we can't do anything about it. We have to live in this world with the criminals and suffer in us and bear with them, bear, tolerate all these evils, etc. But that's not scripture. That's not Quran. And that's not Bible. Bible says, rebuke Satan. So you Christians have to even stand up to the devil. It says, rebuke Satan and he will flee from you. And in our holy book, God says, and fight the schemes of Satan. Didn't say fight him directly because he's a mystery. Satan, for us, is a mystery. And he's hidden from us. We cannot see him in form, in physical form. We don't know where to go and say, that's Satan, I'll go there and kill him. It's not like that. He doesn't exist that way. He exists in his works. He exists in his schemes. That's where he exists. So God says, fight the schemes of Satan. For surely his schemes are weak. They're not strong, they're weak. They're strong only against the weak morally, the weak in faith, the weak spiritually. But they're weak before the strong in faith. They're weak before the strong in spirit. And we are to fight this thing. Now, I want to go to the idea, the topic of my address here before you today. God, when he created man, according to our sacred books, he created man to be responsible in his environment. And the first man he created didn't have a nice little house like I have, like my family has, and didn't have a nice apartment like a lot of my friends I know have, condominiums, and some of my friends, they have mansions. Man didn't have that. He had nothing but the bare earth, the bare earth. And God created him and charged him with responsibility for his environment, the total environment, the total environment. Now that first parent, we all came from. We're the children, all of us. This is how we believe, the people of the sacred books, Bible and Quran. We believe that we all are the children of that parent. Then we all have the life of that parent still in us. Our flesh is the flesh of that first parent. Our human makeup is the original human makeup of that first parent. Hence, our obligation is the obligation of that first parent. Our ability and capacity to manage the environment is the ability and capacity that God gave that first parent when he made him. He made him fit for the job assigned to him to be responsible for his environment. You live in Nashville, relatively comfortable, peaceful, because most of the cities that I go to have serious problems of crime, joblessness, disrespect for human life, etc. But I find that this city is relatively Christian, peaceful, clean, and good for family life. I said relatively. You nice people of Nashville, I advise you to don't watch too much television. Because if you do, you're going to see my city in its environment. It's going to come on your screen one day, and it might influence you. It might break your peace. It might influence some of your children to change this good life and go to the street and leave God. Getting back to the point, man has been created to be responsible for the environment. When I say man, I mean male and female. Because in the scripture, man is male and man collectively is also male and female. Male and female.
We will return to today's broadcast after this important announcement. Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, will be making appearances throughout the country, and those wishing to support his mission of propagation and community assistance are asked to send their contributions made payable to Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad and mail to Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois 60409. And now back to today's program.
Male and female. It begins with the environment of the sacred temple, the first sacred temple. And according to the Bible, that sacred temple is your own body, the body that you live in. You're to keep it sacred. You're to keep it from being defiled. You're to keep intoxicants out of that body. You're to keep drugs out of that body. It's the sacred temple God created for us. We are to keep it from being defiled. And then it begins, and this is Islam too, because Muhammad said the greatest jihad is not the one we hear about in the news and how the name is miscommunicated, jihad, that word, jihad, given the wrong meaning. It's the struggle within. And jihad simply means struggle, struggle, struggle. Muhammad said, the jihad within is the greater jihad. To struggle to keep the temple from being defiled. Keep out lies. Keep out jealousy. Keep out envy. Keep out greed. Keep out drugs. Keep out liquors, etc. The struggle to keep the temple sacred, according to Muhammad the Prophet, is the greater jihad. It's the greater jihad. If you're successful with that struggle, you are ready then to take care of the environment. But you cannot do anything but make the environment worse if you haven't first guarded the environment within. The environment within. Within your conscience, within your heart, within your sensitivities, within your spirit. We have to guard that precious life, that sacred life, from shaitan. Satan, as you call him in Christianity. Now, the world wasn't made to stay a paradise, or to stay a garden of paradise. For God made our first parents, and he put them in the garden of paradise, and God says in our holy book that Satan seduced our father and our mother, causing them to come out of the original clothing that God created them with. And God says, and the original clothing, the clothing of righteousness, are the clothes of righteousness. Satan seduced our parents, causing them to come out of their purity, spiritual purity, to come out of their protection that was their righteousness, to come out of their beautiful dress that was their righteousness. And Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, he said, God wanted to show Gabriel, you call him in Christianity, we call him Jibreel, wanted to show Jibreel, peace be upon the archangel Jibreel, wanted to show him his creation. So he called Jibreel, he said, Jibreel, behold my creation. And Jibreel said to God, how can anyone go astray? How can anyone go wrong in such a wonderful creation? Then God instantly, as though on a big screen, showed Gabriel, his creation after Satan had influenced it. And Jibreel said to God, he said, my Lord, how can anyone go straight in such a creation? So we have to then accept that the world as God made it is a paradise for man. All man has to do is approach it properly, approach it as God intended for him to approach it, and he will reap good results, great benefits, and he will have a paradise in God's creation. And this is backed up also by the saying in our holy book, say, when the righteous who bear patiently, never breaking their faith with God, when they are blessed with the world to come after this one has passed away, they will in heaven or in paradise, they will be there, and they will say, this resembles what we were in before. It means the real world that God has made. What God promises us is a return to the real world that he made originally before Satan enforced it. Oh, don't you believe in a life after death? Certainly I do. I have already been resurrected from the dead, and I hope to have another one. Praise be to God. Certainly I do. And I believe every word of Scripture. Every word of Scripture. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to God. Now, God says also so to us in our holy book. The paradise that he will give you will be his garden, and the expanse of that garden will be as the expanse of the heavens and the earth. The heavens and the earth. And is that in the Bible? The Bible says, and God will make everything new. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. And that will be the reward for those who kept faith, and didn't succumb to Satan's influences in this world. This is what both books agree with each other. You'd be surprised how close the two books, the books of the Muslim and the books book of the Christian is. The books are so close that, believe me, I don't care to make you, to convert you to Islam. If you live your own book, you're going to make me happy. You live your own book, you're going to make the environment good for all of us. If we will just live our own books, we'll have a beautiful city, even in Chicago. We'll have a beautiful environment, a beautiful public environment, if we will just remain true to our own books. But we need, first, leaders of good character. And then we need leaders who are intelligent and will study their books. That's what we need. Well, I want to conclude this talk by saying that responsibility that was given to our first parents is ours. It's ours. We are Adam. We are Adam and his wife. We are Adam and his mate. We are our first parent. Just like I am Sarah, my mother, and I am Elijah, my father. And I would be very ignorant to deny that. Elijah's life is what made possible my life. Clara's life, my mother, is what made possible my life. I'm living as a new person, W. Dean Muhammad, but I'm living because I have in me the genes of Elijah and the genes of my mother, Clara. And if we go back, you're going to come to your first parents, and you have the genes and the human makeup, original human makeup of the first parent. Call it Adam, call it whatever you want to call it. We are man. That's what we are. We are Adam. That's what we are. And if you read your Bible and you read Quran, you will understand that. Muhammad made it very clear to us. He said he had been taken on a visit to Jerusalem from the holy precincts, the first sacred house, our temple, our place of worship in Mecca, in the holy precincts there, the Kaaba, the sacred house, the Kaaba. He was taken from there on a journey. They call it, some translators of the Quran, they call it the night journey, the night journey. Taken on a journey, and he was lifted up from that place and ascended into the heavens. And there he saw, on the first level plane, he saw our first parent, Adam. Adam. And he greeted Adam. He said, "Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum," he said, "my father Adam." And God took him up to a high level, and there he saw Christ Jesus and John on the second level. And he greeted both of them. He said, "Peace, my brother Jesus, and my brother John. Peace be unto you." And God kept carrying him up and up and up until he reached the highest, the seventh, and there was Abraham, the next father, the second of our fathers, Father Abraham. And he greeted him. He said, "Peace be unto you, my father Abraham." And in the Quran, he was explaining something for us. In the Quran, God says, and there are seven planes in the heavens, and a like number within yourselves. We descended from these fathers, these holy men. We descended from them spiritually. The people of faith, they have passed their spirit on to us
and we descended from them. One spirit we got as a natural consequence, and that's the spirit of humanity that was given to Adam when he was created, our first parent. But we also have the spirit of Moses, the Jews. They've been influenced by Moses more than anything else. And we have the spirit of Christ in Christianity, and you've been influenced by Christ more than anything else. And the Bible says, and the children are those who follow in the spirit, who follow in spirit. So we are to understand these things and realize that we are not just individuals. We are individuals owing our individuality and our existence, especially our human definition and human identity, to those who went before us. And don't disrespect your parents ever, because actually you are your parents. Their life is in you. Your body came from them. You're here because they lived before you, and they made it, and you came about. So let us remember these things. Let us be more serious. We are very scientific. We need to be interested in a human person. And then there won't be the shameful disregard for human life that we see on television all the time. Youngsters destroying themselves while shooting, killing innocent people. The killer going to jail. It's a terrible loss that a stupid youngster kills and then he goes to jail. His life is now wasted. He's locked up. Not to mention the innocent young child that he shot and killed. Just going through the neighborhood, just firing shots at random. We live in a crazy world, and it's that way because they don't go to church in those big cities like you do in Nashville. They're not sticking with their religion in those big cities like most of you all are doing in Nashville. I didn't come here to convert any of you all. You already converted. Remain strong, remain faithful, and you remain the good Christians as you are, and convert more to your way of living, to your decency, to your peace, to your respect for God, to your respect for your preachers, your leaders in the church. Convert more to that, so your city will become even a better Nashville, and we will have hope in Chicago, because there's a good place called Nashville. Thank you. Peace be unto you.
Be sure to join us next time for the world broadcast of Imam W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman. For more on the ministry of Imam Muhammad, call 1-708-798-6750. All right, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.